Amen. At this time, we're going to hear God's word. Ed is going to read for us Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Hear now God's word.
If it's okay with Brian, I was reading through this morning for the first time, and something kind of struck me on a theme going through scripture from Genesis to the present time now in Advent. And that you might remember that, you know, it's the Old Testament, very patriarchal society, male-oriented. But the first promise that was given to Eve, that through her seed, and we normally think of the male seed, through her seed, Satan's head would be crushed, but humankind's heel would be bruised. Now, I'm hobbling around with a bad Achilles tendon right now, but I'd still rather have the crushed heel than the crushed, well, not crushed, but, you know, irritated heel versus the crushed head. And you see that, you know, you see that theme kind of running through with the miracle child of Isaac from Sarah. And then the miracle child Messiah, Jesus, through Mary. And as I read through here, you'll see another allusion to the honoring of the woman in the birth of Messiah, the looking forward to Messiah. It's very hidden, but listen for the word woman or women. Okay. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us in the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread."
And from Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in our prayer of preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength Amen. Today we have a very different kind of message for you. Usually I take the time to write out a sermon and have a manuscript here in front of me. Today we're doing things a little bit differently. I spent the week connecting with people. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I went back and talked with all the people whose weddings I've done over the last 5 years and the vow renewals and people that I've been connected with, that I've been a part of their weddings, a part of their connection together. And so I went back and talked with all these people. Of course, they're all traveling because it's Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ask them a few questions about their marriage and about the connection to Christ as King for them and see what comes of it. And I want to share with you this morning several testimonies from people in our church. I've connected with people in different places because of travel and things along those lines, but I've recorded sessions online, and so I'll have the video feed of these conversations with you in just a moment. So we're talking about this idea of Christ as King, and you heard in that scripture, Jesus is with these disciples, but they don't recognize that it's Jesus that's walking with them. And it's not until the very end that they realize that Christ was there walking with them, journeying with them. And it's a moment of triumph we see in this vanishing act of Jesus. We see that Jesus has been transformed in a way that we don't quite understand, where before Jesus was walking and lived with the people, and now suddenly he's able to vanish and reappear, but he can still eat bread and drink. So something is very different about Jesus after the death and resurrection. And we see that he has gone from one among us to truly the King over the whole world. So in my conversations with different folks, I want you to keep that in mind as you think about the marriage and things that people have gone through and Christ as King. So our first video that we're going to take a look at comes from a couple up in Rochester. I interviewed some of the staff of our church as well. So this first one is from Rochester. They're going to introduce themselves. So if we can get the volume, and here's our first video for you.
Here we go. Okay, so tell me your names and when you got married.
My name is Jackie.
My name is Dave.
And we got married December 29th, 2011.
Coming up on 6 years.
Okay, so you've been married for a while now, almost 6 years now. So tell me, what have you learned about marriage in your 6 years together?
Well, how much time do you have?
About 3 minutes.
Boy, I would say for me, the biggest thing that I've learned is probably compromise and thinking of someone other than yourself. Putting someone other than yourself first and before you, putting their needs before your own. Yeah, just learning how best to sometimes, when needed, compromise those, you know, certain situations or needs, I would say.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is, I guess, similar to compromise, but to pick your battles or pick your arguments, to really learn that some of the little things that might bother you on a daily or weekly basis, just to let those go, because nobody's perfect. And when you live with someone and they're your life partner, you have to learn that you can't, you know, we're not perfect. We're not going to always make the other person completely happy. There's going to be things that bother us. And just to learn when to, you know, make a point of something, the things that are really important and then the things that you just have to learn to just let go.
Okay, great. And so this Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. We're talking about Christ as Lord of our lives. Can you say a word about how your marriage connects in with this idea of Christ as King, as Lord?
I think the word that comes to mind is focus. I know that we talk about and pray a lot together that it's really important to kind of recenter our relationship. And we've always really tried to make it a priority that Christ is the focus of our relationship, opposed to it even being each other sometimes. Because, you know, like I said, we're not perfect. Our marriage is not going to be perfect. But when you put your eyes on Christ, on God, and make that the focus, it, in some ways, it takes off a lot of pressure from the two of you. And we both personally believe that that's what's most important and has strengthened our marriage, too, is to have, you know, God be the focus. And it's easier said than done, but that is a constant thing that we just have conversations about when we're praying and doing our devotionals together, is just making in each of our lives individually, but especially as a couple, for him to be the focus.
Yeah, and I would say to add to that, what I was thinking was just that Christ would be the ultimate example in his marriage to the church as an example for us, and just me as a husband to, you know, to be like Christ as he was to the church, and just always looking to him, you know, as that example, as that leader, in knowing what to do at times.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking some time just to talk about your marriage and that connection to Christ as Lord. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so that's Jackie, our office administrator, and her husband, Dave. And you probably couldn't hear it in the back, but in the beginning when Dave said compromise is a key piece for him, Ellen up in front, she said, preach it. Such an important part of marriage together. But hearing that idea of compromise, it's you heard a focus on Christ, and that Jesus is our example in our relationship with him. So one big thing that I see in the dynamic of their relationship together, they've been married for almost six years now, but I hear a lot of idealism in their relationship together, right? They're younger in marriage, and they're aspiring to something in their marriage. So the next person that I interviewed is Christine. She was on her own for this video. Her husband, Vic, wasn't available for it, but she shared a few thoughts. This is a couple of minutes long, so now we're going to hear from Christine.
Okay, so thanks for joining me. I just want to ask a couple of questions about your marriage. So tell me how long you've been married and what you have learned from being married.
Vic and I have been married it'll be 15 years on December 15th. And I think what we both learned through our marriage is that it's not easy, that it takes a lot of trust and a lot of work on both parts, that it's not a one-way street, that it's working together and doing things together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. So we're talking about this idea of Christ being Lord of our lives. What does that mean to you when you think about Christ being Lord of your life and your marriage, your family, how you live your life with in connection to others?
Well, I think in our life, you know, Christ is the head of everything. No matter what we do, Christ comes before everything we do, and we consult him and through prayer. And as far as our marriage goes, you know, it hasn't always been that way. It's been something we've both learned, how Christ is, you know, we're to mimic that, and he's supposed to be our leader. Jesus Christ is our leader. So therefore Vic is to mimic that leadership role. And it's not in a, you know, my husband says something and that's the end of it, end all be all, but it's more like, you know, he's the head of it. And before we make major decisions and before we do things, you know, I'll consult Vic and then we pray about it and we'll talk about it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Christine, for taking some time to talk about your marriage and what it means for Christ to be Lord of your life.
No problem.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so a second person, this is Christine talking about how she's learning to put Christ first in her life, right? So 15 years in, and I heard her say a couple of things. Did you hear a little bit of the struggle there? She said, this is hard work, right? So you go through this journey of idealism to looking at how there's a struggle there. You have to put in the time and effort for the marriage to work. So it takes hard work to continue on in the path. And then the connection to Christ that she said that Vic is the Christ is the head of our lives, and so Vic is the head of her family. So that's part of the journey for people. And then I interviewed Tammy and John. They're here with us this morning, but I really enjoyed this interview. It's a little bit longer than the other two, but I think it's well worth the time and effort, and my apologies ahead of time for the end of this video. You'll see why. So here's Tammy and John.
All right, so I just want to ask a few questions about your marriage. So can we start with when you got married?
October 14th, 1990.
Okay, and we did the ceremony to renew your vows just in the last a year or so. Can you tell me about why you wanted to renew your vows?
Well, I just think that, you know, in relationships, particularly when you spend a lot of time with someone, it's always good to celebrate life. And it was just kind of a celebration of our love, and of our kids and our family in this, like, weather. So it was just more than our commitment to each other. It was really 25 years of the benefits and the ups and downs that led us to our relationship today.
It was actually my idea.
Oh, nice.
And my idea, although everything Tammy just said is right, but my idea is, you know, you're so busy in your lives, your work and your kids and everything else, and every once in a while, you need to remind yourself why you said I do 25 years ago. And I just thought it was a good day you take out of our lives just to remind ourselves why we did it 25 years ago. Of course, now it's 27, but back then it was 25.
Right. So that's quite a while. Congratulations to the two of you. And I imagine in your married life, there are many things you could say that you learned. But if you could just pick one or two things, what's something that you learned over the course of marriage, and, you know, reflecting back on these 27 years now, what would you say is the thing that stands out as what you figured out because you spent this time married together?
So I think it's compromise. I mean, you really just have to be flexible because it's never 50-50. Sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes it's 60-40. But in the end, you know, being compassionate is better than being right. And being understanding is better than winning the argument. It's, you know, it's about compassion and really just being flexible with the other person.
I think that a lot of kids that get married today, they've got this idea of what marriage is. They think it's just this grand, beautiful thing. And like, or Prince Charming, they're going to ride off into the sunset. It isn't. And I think you have to recognize God does not make anyone perfect. And you have to understand that your spouse is not perfect, just like you're not perfect. And I think if you go into and you continue to live a marriage without the expectations that everything has to be perfect every day, you come to appreciate your own imperfections. And you begin to appreciate the fact that your spouse is putting up with your imperfections too. And when you reach that point, there's this symbiotic thing that exists. I can't quite define it, but it's going into a relationship without such high expectations of one another and the fallacies and the shortcomings we're going to have.
All right, excellent. So one last question for you. So this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday, and it's sort of a celebration of the whole year of the church and everything that's happened from the birth of Christ through his life and then Pentecost and all the way through to this date, Christ the King Sunday. So do you have a thought on the connection between your marriage and what you're learning and discovering in your marriage and this idea of Christ being king? This is sort of an open-ended thing, but do you see any connections there, anything that comes to mind for you?
So for me, everything that Christ represents from the very core is love. And it doesn't look like romantic love. It looks like compassion. It looks like you know, love in its truest form, which is how we care for ourselves and each other. And that's what marriage is really about, is how you love and respect yourself so you can bring the best version of yourself to your relationship, and how you love and care for your spouse and to try and help them be the best version of themselves. And so Christ really just, its life was about love. And so I think that's what it's all about.
You know, it's a process. You have to, it's a constant self-evaluation of yourself and where you stand in the big scheme of things. You know, I was brought up in a very strict Franciscan Roman Catholic household where you learn that you had to follow the rules because they were rules that you had to follow. But as you get married and you get older and you begin to recognize that that's not why you should do things. You should do things because there is a higher being. There is somebody that put Tanya and I here for a reason. You don't quite know the reason every day. So on some days, as we all know, we wonder why he did. But overall, there is a almost a daily process of evaluating not only yourself, but your marriage that only comes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking the time to share.
One more thing, Brian, that keeps it going. Are you ready?
Go ahead. Oh, no.
and you can show that.
Thank you so much, I think. Take care. Bye.
Okay, so you heard that compromise, again, is a very important part of marriage. Compassion is better than being right, and that there's this daily process of evaluation. So we move from the idealism of the early marriage to the hard work of keeping things together and making things work in the home. And here I hear an acceptance of imperfection, that we have figured out in many ways how to make it work and recognize that our partner is not always perfect. But that's all right. We make this thing work. And throughout scriptures, we have this beautiful image of God and the church. And it is described often as a relationship that is like a marriage, that God is the king and we, the church, are God's queen. So our relationship with God can be described very much like a marriage. And I see this journey. It parallels what God calls us to in our lives. There's this idealism when we first encounter God. And then there's this stage where we have to work really hard at making this thing work. And eventually we get to this place where we recognize God is who God is and God is not going to change. But we can change. We can line our lives up with who God calls us to be. And there's this acceptance that God has of our imperfections, and we live as God calls us to live. So I have one last interview for you. I have been connected with this family for quite some time. They moved just in the last couple of years down to Florida. This is Marguerite and Ephraim. So many of you will know them. The video quality is very poor, but the audio works perfectly fine. So oftentimes the picture is frozen, but you can still hear what they're saying. So my apologies for that. But here's Margaret and Ephraim.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you just a few questions about your marriage and how that relates to your faith. So tell me how long you've been married and what you've learned from being married.
Well, you want to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to start? Okay. Well, we're going on 53 years come June of 2018. I've learned a lot since we married. A lot of it was a big surprise, but it was a learning experience. When I first agreed, the only thing I saw was her eyes. She was kind of covered over in the cast. So I was working at the hospital for special surgery at the time, and they had summoned me to come over and put traction on her back. So that's basically how we met. She saw me through a mirror that she was holding in her hand, and she kind of locked my vision and kind of melted me down, you know. I didn't know exactly what I was getting, just a pair of eyes, you know. But as time continued, it was a big surprise and a wonderful surprise. And I learned it takes a lot of patience, understanding, and just being good to each other. So, yeah.
I'll ditto that. Yes, it's been very good. And communication, I think, is a key aspect, as well as respect and understanding.
Okay, very good. So the next question for you, and these are really the two questions, about the marriage, what you're learning in it. And then the second one is, today is Christ, or Sunday's Christ the King Sunday. So how do you connect together your relationship, your marriage, and this idea of Christ as King of our lives?
Well, you know, God and Christ has to come first in our lives, because without him, all things are not possible. With him, all things are possible. And he's been a mainstay in our lives and in our marriage throughout these 52 and a half years. And we're not planning on giving him up next year.
Yeah. And I have to add to that when we first got married, the doctors that worked on Marguerite informed us that she was not able to have any children. And so when I got married, it was under that understanding that we were not to have children. But through God and faith and everything else, it worked out pretty good. We got 4 children. 3 boys and 1 daughter, which came 10 years later. So it kind of just kept us going on our toes. So thank God for everything.
Yeah, okay. We truly have been blessed with 3 boys and 1 girl. And Thomas was a senior in high school when Allison was born. So we've had the gamut of years.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking just a few minutes to share with us all the things that you're learning through marriage and through so many years together. Thank you.
Okay, so you heard a few things there. The importance of patience, being good to each other, communication. And throughout that video, I heard how this couple that's been married for 52 years, they're in a place where they're looking back at the many blessings that they've received over the many years of their marriage together and the fruits of their marriage. So there's many things here that we could take away from hearing these different couples and what they've experienced. But I want to point to one particular thing. In the scripture that we read today, the disciples that walked with Jesus, when Jesus revealed himself and then vanished, the disciples said, were our hearts not burning when he talked with us on this road to Emmaus? And I want to invite you and encourage you. Have you ever had a moment like that where you felt like God was speaking to you and your heart was on fire? And if you haven't had a moment like that, I want you to experience that. There's not a way I can force that experience on you, but I want you to experience that, because when we experience God alive in our lives, at work in our hearts, that is when we are able to make this jump from our relationship with God being hard work of us trying to make this work to a submission to Christ as King in our lives. And there are many things we can do to help position ourselves in our life so that we can have these kinds of experiences. One of them is attending church. One of them is regularly reading the scriptures and being in prayer. If you haven't fasted and head prayer. I invite you, try that. Maybe the Advent season is the time to fast and pray. If you want other ideas, give me a call, send me an email. There are lots of things we can do to help posture ourselves so that we can have these experiences with God. There's also something some of you in our church have done, and that's go on something called the Walk to Emmaus. They have retreats in the fall and the spring where it's a weekend away from the busyness of life to spend time learning about God, bonding with others, a time to sing together and to experience God at work in our hearts. So there's many different things you can do, but I want to encourage you. Our relationship with Christ is a journey, and it's important that we keep on this journey and keep growing in our faith so that each year when we celebrate Christ as King, that we can say, yes, Christ is the King of my life. And it means something more. It is a deeper and richer understanding when we get to this season each year. So with that, I want to offer a prayer and a blessing to you all. So will you pray with me now? God, we pray that all of us in this room would take a moment to deepen our relationship with you. That we would reflect on how Jesus Christ is the King of our lives. And sometimes that's not true of us. We haven't made that commitment to go deep into a relationship with God and to say, God, you are the number one priority. So, Lord, we pause to make that commitment. Lord, for those who haven't invited you into their lives and to make you the King of their life, Lord, I pray that now would be that time. Now people would say, yes, Lord, you are the King of my life. So help our people to go deeper into their relationship with you, that they might know you and know the presence of your Holy Spirit in a deeper and fuller way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.